Grace and peace to you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, risen from among the dead, coming again. Our focus is governed today by the Old Testament lesson, Isaiah 65. Please hear again these few verses. Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create, for I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. But dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. That's our text. In the name of our Savior, risen and coming again and present with us always, my Christian friends. About 30 years ago, it was my responsibility to teach my son how to drive. It's the first time I'd ever tried to do that for anybody, and I suppose each of us and both of us suffered the results of that experiment. I remember one particular Sunday after worship was over, our family had decided to go get a bite to eat, a little special getaway after worship, and went to a restaurant in the Omaha area. And as we walked out to the parking lot afterwards, I handed the keys to my 15-year-old son, and I said, here, you're driving us home. His face went white as a sheet, because it meant we were going to have to drive home on the interstate around Omaha. I had confidence in him, though. I knew who taught him to drive. So his sisters and his mother got into the back seat of the car, and I sat in the front. And we made our way out of the parking lot ever so carefully and whatnot, and then onto the interstate. I said, pick up your speed, son. You're on the interstate. So I'm sitting there looking out the front window of the car, and this is the thing that I experienced. I kept getting jerked from one side to the other in my seat. And after about a minute and a half of this, I finally looked over at him and I said, what in the world are you doing? And here was my son gripping the wheel, looking over the hood of the car. He said, I'm trying to keep the car between the lines. I said, look further down the road. Get a new vision of where you're trying to get to. Oh, he said, and the driving smoothed out just like that. It's a lesson he never forgot. He forgot a few others, but that's a different story. That's really what Christ the King Sunday is about. Because you and I are so short-visioned, we are conscious and aware only of our immediate concerns. And what the Lord holds in front of us is not merely some dire warning. Because in my experience and observation, and quite honestly in the text of the scripture, the more we start focusing on dire warnings, the more your vision and mine all of a sudden is trying to watch the center line to keep us out of the left lane and the right-hand side of the road, and all of a sudden we're looking over the hood of the car and looking only in the rearview mirror and at the cars all around us, and we're caught in this desperate thing on the freeway, and pretty soon there is nothing but a traffic jam and accidents. And the invitation and power and strength of Christ the King Sunday and the vision the Lord puts in front of each of us and all of us together is to get a new vision. Look further down the road. As you listen to the reading of this Old Testament lesson, what did you hear of what you and I do in this thing? Did you hear it? You heard nothing. There's a reason for that. Listen again to the opening language. Behold, the Lord says, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered. Be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, but dust will be the serpent food. It's all the Lord. That's the way it was in the beginning. That's what we lost sight of. And our vision was filled only with ourselves and one another. And as a result, we end up being and doing precisely that. And our whole journey becomes a matter of jerking and being jerked from one side to the other. You cannot drive looking in the rearview mirror. You're going to end up crashing. Furthermore, you're only going to end up where you were. Is that where you want to be? Or does it have to do with our pride and our concern? I well imagine that day that my son, who was trying to learn how to drive, was trying to not only keep us safe, but also prove that he was a good driver and eventually worthy of receiving the keys to the car and trusted to go out on his own. And so his focus was entirely centered on himself and his own immediate reality and his own efforts to keep himself from veering into this lane or that. Good luck. I've driven up and down Highway 77 between here in Beatrice and Lincoln, where we live, enough to realize you got to keep looking down the road, especially early on Sunday morning and as the dusk comes, because there are plenty spots between here and Lincoln where the deer live. Those of you who are hunters, see me after the service. I'll let you know where they are. A couple of them didn't make it this year. But you see, what you and I end up doing is becoming so short-sighted and so anxious. Do you begin to realize that the point of life is to demonstrate to you and to me how little you and I really control in this world? That it's all the Lord from beginning to end. And He loves you. The Lord's love reaches from the end of what the Lord is going to do in all of nature and history and reaches right into our now and says, I know you fret and fume and fuss. Look what I'm doing. Look what I'm going to do. A new heaven and a new earth. Look further down the road. Here's one of the things that I experience in my life. And I've listened to you folks now, also individually and as a group, enough to know you do the same thing. I'll own up to it also. You and I will begin to focus on things that have happened to us as individuals or as groups. And we will grind our teeth and be so annoyed and irritated. And we're not looking further down the road. We're only looking at what some individual or individuals did or didn't do to us. You know what that is? That's driving while you're looking in the rearview mirror. Let it go. Let the Lord do to you with His new vision what He's doing. You know, the other thing that you and I as human beings try to do, especially in this modern era that goes back to about 1650 and is still hanging on desperately, it is this notion that as long as we are reasonable and rational, we know exactly how to make things happen according to the way it ought to happen. It is the notion that somehow our human logic, our human reason, and our human ability to persuade and control is going to set the tone and make the day. Did you hear in this Old Testament lesson enough bizarre images to realize that this is the Lord's logic and it doesn't operate according to the way our logic operates. What kind of logical sense does it make that the wolf and the lamb are going to feed together? And that the ox, that the lion is going to eat straw like an ox? Doesn't make any sense, does it? It's not what we're used to. We know what life does. That's all nice images then. But if you and I do not look down the road with that new vision, then we end up driving as if we're in control of keeping the whole thing there. When we drive with that new vision, when we live with that new hope and sensation, all of a sudden it has the impact that you and I live today as if we are already there, because it is a present reality in what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. This language from Isaiah chapter 65 talks about the promise of what life everlasting is going to be like. Listen to those opening verses. Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. That's the powerful language that gets echoed all over the New Testament about what the Lord is going to do on the last day. New heavens and a new earth. A restored creation. But the Lord does it. And yet we see the turmoil and the troubles and the tiresomeness of this experience today. For me personally, and in my teaching and in my thinking, I know where all of this comes from when we talk about the kind of approach to politics and to our vision of the world that says we're going to create everything to be good for people. We're going to improve their health care and their health itself, and we're going to improve their economic situation. What a yearning. It echoes right out of this kind of hope that we yearn for, that God embedded in us. But the notion that any technology, any government policy, any way of understanding history and science, that somehow we're in control of that and we're going to make it happen, the Lord laughs. And the Lord cries. Because it keeps us from seeing the reality that it's the Lord who does it and invites us to trust that and live as if it's already here. You see, it's on the last day when the Lord creates a new heaven and a new earth, and when he raises all the dead, all of them. That's when he establishes the fullness of the kingdom. But Christ has already been raised from the dead. That means the last day has already started. It's just not done yet. And it's all the Lord's doing in Christ. That's why we celebrate Christ the King Sunday. It's humbling to us to recognize that all we are is subjects. All we are is trying to learn how to drive. All we are is short-sighted people, scared and angry, and too often prone to look at everybody else who's trying to do this thing with us, how they've hurt us, or how we might be able to control them. So what have you learned about control? Do you think in the last 3 years the state of Nebraska has learned anything about control in a football program? Do you think with the weather and the way it changes, you and I have really learned anything about the fact how much we do or don't control the heavens and the earth? What about that little bump on your heart that's called the sinus node that keeps sending out those electrical impulses that keeps your heart beating and keeps you alive? How much of that do you control? What about the love of the people in your lives How much of that do you really control? And yet we live with that hope and vision that somehow I can manipulate it and do it right and be it right. No, you can't. Quit. It's futile. The best you and I can be is persons focused on what God has already done for us in Christ Jesus, in his life, death, and resurrection that liberates us from all of it, and receive his love, and then be reflectors of that love that reaches us now and beckons us from afar. Because it's the Lord's city. It's the Lord's country. It's the Lord's world and the Lord's universe. And you are the Lord's as well. That's the vision by which you and I operate as individuals. That's the vision by which you and I are invited and impelled to operate as God's people in this place and time. There's a tune, language from one of the old hymns that we sang on All Saints Day that comes to our hearts now. It says, when the fight is fierce, the warfare long, steals on the ear the distant triumph song, and hearts are brave again, and arms are strong. Hallelujah. Look down the road. See what the Lord's bringing to you. Live in the light of that vision. Be his people. In Christ the King. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.